The following is paid programming.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management. The Financial Guys and Independent Solutions are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, LLC. The political views on this show do not reflect the views of Peak Brokerage. This show is not intended to provide specific legal, tax, investment, or other professional advice. Please consult a professional for your specific situation. This radio show is for informational purposes only and is not intended to solicit or recommend any particular security. The information discussed is obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but its accuracy and completeness are not guaranteed.
It's time to talk money.
Under Medicare for All, we cover all basic health care needs, so they're not going to be there to do that. I suppose if you want to work on that nose, they can do that.
So basically, Blue Cross Blue Shield would be reduced to nose jobs.
Something like that.
It's the Financial Guys radio program with local financial experts Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
God rest her soul, and your mom's still alive as your dad passed. God bless her soul.
Hold on a sec. I'm going to get me...
Now, here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
All righty, welcome back. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, Financial Guys, the place where money meets politics. And normally an open mic session, we'll see if we get to some of your calls today. We will have a special guest. Mike Hayflick will be joining us a little bit in the first hour. I think he's going to be here about maybe, 1:30-ish or so. And he's going to join us again in the second hour, talking a little bit about Social Security. Of course, Mike is a certified Social Security claiming strategist and one of very few folks in the country that actually has a certification in understanding the different strategies with Social Security and part of our team and actually educating financial planners all over the country when it comes to Social Security. So it'll be a good opportunity to listen to a certified Social Security expert. Of course, Mike is a co-host of the show, really filling in for us once in a while now. And but you know, place where money beats politics. Let's talk about Corona a little bit. Yelp data shows 60% of business closures due to the coronavirus pandemic are now permanent. I mean, that's pretty amazing when you think about that number. And you know, the stock market has been holding its own. And a lot of times, and people are saying, "How could that be?" I've been saying, "Well, what you got to be careful about is the stock market is, as we've just made changes a few weeks ago to the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the Dow may literally have 27 stocks that are sideways or down, but three could drive the market, right? I mean, Apple has been a huge part of driving the NASDAQ, you know, or some of those just few players. So you got to be really careful now. It is a stock picker's market. I really believe that. And I think it's going to be a stock picker's market for the next year or two. As identifying the winners, because there are winners. You know, we were talking about this over the last few days. We have been at a conference and just talking to other financial planners, and you know, it's amazing some of the industries out there that are just they can't keep up, but yet other industries have just never been more crushed.
Right. So the service sector, the airlines, restaurants. I mean, when you look at Yelp, that's mostly service-based businesses.
Yeah.
Yet Etsy has like tripled in price, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Etsy, where people make their own stuff and sell it online because people have been home doing with nothing else to do, right?
Yeah.
There's like 160 some odd thousand or so businesses reporting on Yelp, right?
163,000 businesses have indicated on Yelp that they have closed.
Right.
163,000.
So 163 have indicated they're closed, 60% of which are saying they're not going to reopen. So that's like 100,000.
Yeah, 97,966.
That's crazy. Unbelievable. So you're looking at a tremendous amount of damage. And, you know, the frustrating part is like, you know, again, in places like Florida, they've reopened the economy for the most part, right? I mean, you still have masks and you have, you know, some capacity limitations and whatnot. But
I think
for the most part, it's open, right?
Well,
the
bigger thing there, though, Glenn, is they didn't have that permanent closure for months, right?
Right?
You saw Florida, which we think handled it much better. I still think there's counties in Florida that are a little bit behind the eight ball, right? Where you see like Palm Beach County is not opening up as fast as the rest of it. But I'll tell you what, it's a lot easier to restart an engine if it wasn't completely closed down.
Right.
Right. I mean, what happened in New York was, we are shutting you down. We are sending out the liquor authority. We're going to send out the health administrators. We're going to put you out of business no matter what. If you so help me, if somebody shows up without a mask, I mean, people are just they're scared to death, right? But that engine's got to be all fired back up again.
Well, there's
right?
nothing to fire up though.
There's nothing.
The engine is engine has
they're
been,
gone. They're leaving.
It's gone, right? So that's the problem. Like in Florida, they only shut down for like, you know, maybe a couple weeks where you couldn't really go into a restaurant, maybe a month, right?
Yeah.
But really by May, even in South Florida, Miami-Dade, Broward.
Everything was open again.
Right.
Everything was open.
At least at a
it was rolling.
They started pretty quick. It was 25, 50. They ramped up fast, right? It wasn't a 16-step program. Like, what is this? We Alcoholics Anonymous?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
New York's like, we're going to have, step 1 through 5, but then it's like 1B, and then we took a half step backwards. Like, what is that?
Yeah, it's really 1 through 50, right? And we're going to tell you there's 4 steps, but when we get to step 4, we're actually not going to let you open.
And, yeah, exactly. Then you get to the step you're supposed to be in, like movie theaters. Like, no, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
So I said to somebody online, I was in a Twitter, argument with somebody, if you can even call it that, and they said, wow, Florida's heading right where New York is. They're going to be in the same position in 30 days. I said, well, here's the difference, though. Florida went into the crisis with a surplus. New York went into the crisis with a $6 billion budget deficit, right? Florida has the ability to actually cut things when they need to. They've cut their budgets before, right? New York does not have that ability, clearly. They have never cut a budget, right? So, again, we have a much better position entering it, which means they're going to be better position coming out.
We have a governor that brags about cutting the growth of government.
Right. But to your point before, though, in Florida, if they stayed open too late, they may have gotten fined. They may have gotten the citation, whatever. But in New York, Governor Cuomo last Saturday is out there bragging in a tweet, we were out there, we took 33 liquor licenses last night, and we're coming for college bars next. Because once you take a bar's liquor license, that's basically like cutting off somebody's, head.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's over.
Not a finger.
No, it's over.
Right? You're done.
It's over.
Right? You're done. Yeah. You can't, if you're a bar, right? If you're a hot dog stand and you sell hot dogs, right? And the hot dog authority comes by and says, you can no longer sell hot dogs, you're out of business.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? These bars are out of business. The chance of them reopening, because here's what happens once you lose your liquor license. You got to go to a here. You're guilty until you can prove your innocence.
Yep.
That's how it works in New York, right? So New York is putting its businesses out of business. Florida is not. And so you're starting to see the emergence of, places like Florida with lower unemployment, places like New York that are having, higher, issues coming back, right? Mm-hmm. And Florida and Texas and places like, Arizona, Tennessee, the Carolinas, they'll all benefit from the tax base moving there.
No
right?
doubt.
Those restaurants on Yelp that are not reopening in Buffalo are likely never going to reopen in Buffalo.
No.
But likely going to reopen in Palm Beach.
Yeah, you'll see.
So they're likely going to reopen in Dallas. Or
no
they're going to reopen in San Antonio
no
or Knoxville.
So you have the areas where the wealth was welcome already. Already seeing that mass exodus, right? We've talked about this forever. 1 million people have left New York in the last 10 years, right? But now you're seeing New York City, which really, truly, with all the garbage and all the political garbage, New York City was still New York City, right? I mean, people would say, you know what? I need to go there for a weekend. I have to see all these buildings, and I got to see Times Square, and I've got to see the Statue of Liberty, and I got to go catch a show on Broadway, right? I don't care if it's more expensive. I've got to bring my daughter there. I've got to bring my son there. I've got to be part of the energy, right? So with all of the bad management, and of course, all of us that are in New York that have been paying taxes for decades, we've been saying, wait a minute, we get none of that positive spill off here in Western New York, right? But we've got all the negative. We've got all the high taxes. Well, the final nail in the coffin and the exit of New York.
Yeah.
Now we've got 14,000 vacant apartments there.
Yeah.
And, and the exodus is going to continue. And to your point, these restaurants are just saying, you know what, keep it. I'm good. I'm fine. I'm not opening. I'll tell you, we had a lot of clients that have said, they're sticking with us. Obviously, they've been, clients forever, but they're saying, I was thinking about retiring anyways.
Yeah.
This just put me over.
I'm just
not opening my restaurant again. I'm not, whatever I was doing. What? I'm not going to fight with you anymore. I'm done.
So something else we said a while back that, this would lead to as the markets consolidate, as the, those winners win, there's other losers in the stock markets. A lot of those losers are small business owners, smaller companies, while the Amazons and Jeff Bezos, owns the world, right? This out of the AP, September 21st article, and again, we said this would happen, just like in California. Soaring wealth during pandemic highlights rising inequality. Americans' household wealth rebounded last quarter to a record high as the stock market quickly recovered from the pandemic-induced plunge in March, yet the gains flowed mainly to the most affluent households, even as tens of millions of people endured job losses and shrunken incomes. Let me explain why. Because the people that own the mega companies like Jeff Bezos made a gajillion dollars during the pandemic, right? Bill Gates, I'm sure he'll make a boatload off of his vaccine,
Even what I would consider the upper middle class wealthy, right? They're going to take advantage of this.
Of course.
Why don't you hold that thought, Glenn? We're going to take a quick break. Right. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, Financial Guys, the place where money meets politics. If you need our help, folks, we do manage money for a living. 833-FIN-GUYS, whether you're in Rochester, Buffalo, New York, or down in South Florida. We have offices in Palm Beach and Jupiter, Florida. So use us as a resource. We'll be right back here. Financial Guys, Radio Network.
You're listening to the Financial Guys. To reach Glenn and Mike now, call 803-0930, toll free at 800-616-WBEN, and cell calls are free at star 930.
Alrighty, welcome back. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, the place where money meets politics. If you need our help throughout the week, folks, 833-FIN-GUYS. If you think like us, use us as a resource. By the way, is Medicare season. We have independent AHIP-certified Medicare reps in the Buffalo Williamsville office, in the Rochester office, and down in South Florida. So if you need our help, use our team as a resource. Tis the season for that. It's something that you should be reviewing, understanding. Not only with your Medicare should you understand what you qualify for, you should figure out what you don't qualify for, right? If something happens, are you in a position to be able to switch your Medicare plan? We have independent AHIP-certified reps that can help. Don't forget about our home and auto division. We've got Mike Sparaza that can help and his team help save you money. We have over 25 different companies that he can shop. Let him do the shopping for you. You know, forget about buying, you know, your insurance from a company who's got a lizard or so, you know, some animal or is driving around in a crazy car. Let him do the shopping for you. Let him do the shopping for you. 25 cars, 14 minutes. He can save you money. And, you know, Social Security planning. We're going to be joined by Mike Hayflick a little bit later on in the show. And Mike is a certified Social Security claiming strategist. So the departments don't stop. We are a one-stop financial shop with certified experts in each shop, 833 or each department, 833-FIN-GUYS. Before the break, you were talking about, and we by the way, we nailed this, another thing the financial guys can chalk up to knowing, you know, the outcome of, which was
pretty easy.
The disparity between the rich and the poor, right? And this pandemic, you've got, you know, now actually you've got the Democrats who want to cut more checks. They want to cut more checks. I saw Mark Cuban, by the way. He's a real winner. He said, we should just pay people $1,000 a week for the next 3 months.
Why don't you do that?
Yeah, he's a billionaire.
You're a billionaire. Right?
That's right.
Let's think about this. We're going to talk about this in a second. You know, what's his name? Michael Bloomberg.
Yeah.
He paid off, what, 30,000 felons, debts, and restitution bills? Mm. You know, he's got...
By the way, the attorney general's looking into that. It never goes anywhere, though.
It never goes anywhere.
It drives me crazy.
Well, clearly he's buying votes. I mean, I honestly would guess that the prison population is probably 50-50 like the rest of the population.
Yeah.
I don't know that they really buys them an advantage, but nevertheless,
especially the one that have rehabbed themselves, like, I want to go back out and, you know, get
some? Some of these come out, they're very religious folks that are have, you know, they found their way and they, you know, so I don't know that there really gave them any advantage, but nevertheless,
many of them probably pro life,
probably. Yeah. But the point is that, you know, I forgot my point now. No, the point was, I did forget my point. Darn it all.
You're turning into me.
I know, really? the point was that if he's a billionaire, like, he's obviously demonstrating that he could, if he wanted to give people $1,000 a week, he could do it. If Mark wanted to do it, he could do it. If Bloomberg wanted to, you know, take every person that's homeless in New York City and get him an apartment, he could actually afford to do it. Why doesn't he?
Right.
Why doesn't Mark Cuban, right? Mark's worth $1 billion. Go out there and give $1,000. You want to give $1,000 a week?
Thing.
Go ahead.
It'd be a very lovable thing. And, by the way, I would have a totally different level of respect for these people.
Let me tell you what Mark Cuban did. He bought more Apple stock.
That's
what he did.
That's exactly
what Michael Bloomberg did. He bought more Amazon stock.
That's right.
That's what he did.
And what he does, Mike, is takes $16 million back to buy some votes in Florida, right? But he bought $1 billion worth of Apple and watched it go up a few hundred dollars.
And that's why soaring wealth during pandemic highlights rising inequality. Don't blame it on racism, folks. Blame it on really Democrat policy, because the folks that got hurt the most are the folks that were reliant upon these businesses for their jobs, right? They're the people that work at the airline company now furloughed.
Yeah.
The people that worked at the small business that are now unemployed.
Yeah, did the books for the restaurant, right?
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right.
That cleaned the restaurant. That sold the point-of-sale systems to the restaurant.
That delivered the food. That you know, all those things, all those jobs are the folks that are in, let's say, the bottom 90% of wealth, right?
Yep.
The top 10% of wealth, you know, they control, you know, a ridiculous amount of the, like, 30-some percent of the overall wealth in the world, right? The richest 1% of Americans owns 31% of the nation's wealth. You know, and that's, you know, you'd expect that. The top 10% own 50, basically. Yeah. So the top 10% own 50% of the wealth, and you'd expect them to get richer. But unfortunately, you're hurting, as we always said, these policies hurt Biden's out there, right? If you love, I'll fix it. Elect me, and I'll fix it. I'll make sure that you don't go hungry and you have a job. How do you do that? You're the one who put them out of business.
They make
these Democrat states and the Democrat policies that are not allowing these states to open.
Well, once
New York is closed, Florida is open.
Once again, they've hurt the very people they profess to help, right? Look, if you own a bit, like we've got clients like this, right? Got $100 million net worth, right? Mm-hmm. And their restaurant is shut down for the next 3 months. Mm-hmm. You know what? Some of them are going to go, you know what? That's okay. I'm going to take advantage of this on the other side. And I'm going to watch the four or five restaurants around me go out of business. Uh-huh. I'm going to take their market share, and I might open up one or two of them, right? Those people will get wealthier, right? Yes. The gap between the rich and the poor will get wealthier, as they should, by the way. They put themselves in a position. They should be able to take advantage of it, right? Who's going to get hurt? The struggling entrepreneur that was just about, just started that ice cream stand or whatever, right?
Doesn't have the capital.
That was the dream. They borrowed some money from, their mom and dad or Uncle Bill, right? And just about ready to launch as we decided that, COVID was spread through some of these small businesses.
Not Walmart.
Not Walmart. Not
Imagine
Home Depot.
How frustrating it must have been for a lot of these small businesses, where they're just looking at the fact that they're not going to be able to pay the mortgage, they're not going to be able to pay the rent, they're not going to be able to, to keep up with the business. Mm-hmm. While the parking lot across the street at the Walmart is packed, right? Think about the bicycle shop.
The stupidity is,
unfair. And honest to God, if you're a small business out there, I mean, I would seriously considering filing suit. I mean, whether you're in New York or Florida, we have, right?
By the way, Hogan, first of all, we will also get our James Ostrowski, our attorney, on to give everybody an update, hopefully next week, on our lawsuit.
What if you're the bicycle shop, though?
Yeah.
What if you're the bicycle shop? Yeah. Everybody went out there and bought as much outdoor equipment as they could. So Amazon boomed, right? The sporting goods stores boomed, except for the really small, kayak shop. Yeah. Oh, they couldn't open. Oh, I see.
Right? Well, that's where outrageous. COVID is. Yeah. The stupidity. I was talking to somebody the other day, and you just got to hope and pray that at some point, these young folks will look back at this and go, man, did they handle that wrong, mm-hmm. right? You just got to hope that they actually look back at this and say, gosh, look at the countries that didn't shut everybody out, right? Look at the places around the country that
you'll never get
around,
that
around our country that actually were more open and free and didn't wear the mask. Boy, they ended up so much better off, right? By the way, if you're a small business owner, we got to come up with a cheat sheet. It should be the science cheat sheet. And it should be all about what really happened during this pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. We continue to say that the CDC said this pandemic, quote, ended a month ago. It ended a month ago. And I'm amazed. I'll talk to people and say, do you know the CDC, right? Remember, follow the science, Andrew Cuomo? Yeah. That ended a month ago. They said this is not even close to an actual pandemic right now.
It wasn't over the death rate that it needed to be.
Did you know that the CDC said only 6% of 200,000 people actually died of COVID? You're talking about maybe 12,000 people? CNBC the other day, that was their headline, said, we're now over 200,000 people. I'm like, you can't stop.
Right.
You can't stop. That's not the truth, right? We didn't lose 200,000 people to COVID. We may have had 200,000 people die with COVID in them, but 200,000 people did not die of COVID.
Right.
And when the CDC, the leftists of leftists, right, come out and says, this is only 6% of the 200,000 people died. That should have ended it, but it doesn't. The mainstream media cannot stop with the scare. They just cannot stop with the scare.
No, and honestly, the CDC just needs to be dismantled. I mean, let's be honest.
Useless.
I mean,
totally
Robert
useless.
Redfield came out the other day and said that wearing masks are more effective than a vaccine. Now, look, folks, the data on the masks, as we have pointed out, is mixed at best.
Yep.
Okay, for the most part, the research studies that we have looked at show masks don't work, but there's absolutely zero evidence that vaccines, like for like the flu vaccine, is less effective than wearing a mask. If that were really the case, if Robert Redfield really believed that, or if there was a medical study he could point to say that this mask is more effective, then we would all be wearing masks during flu season, not getting the flu shot.
Well, that is a legitimate fear.
But nobody
by the way.
Questions
that. That is a legitimate fear I have that these
that
nut
we're
going to
go to mask for
forever.
Flu? No,
forever.
No. Not in my world.
Not in my world, not in your world. But if you would have said people will be acting the way they're acting today,
it's crazy.
Four months ago, there's no way.
Right. Well, we said that. We talked about that. There's no way they did this too early. They're not going to be able to drag us onto the election. We're 6 weeks away.
Six weeks away.
It's crazy.
Yeah, 6 weeks. Oh, by the way, know what? Well
let me point this out real quick before we go to break. We're going to get there pretty quick here. This came out. We talked about this. Officials, Europe's top health officials can't say masks aren't helpful in beating COVID, but they can't say they are either. I love how they phrase this, right?
That's right.
So Denmark boasts one, and I read this before in the air. I'm going to read it again. Denmark boasts one of the world's lowest COVID death rates in the world, right? As of August 4th, the Danes have suffered only 616 COVID deaths, according to figures from Johns Hopkins. That's less than one-third the number of Danes who die from pneumonia and influenza every single year. Despite this success, Danish leaders recently found themselves on the defensive. The reason is that Danes aren't recommending wearing masks, and local authorities, for the most part, aren't even recommending them. Aren't wearing masks and not recommending them. For the most part, most of like Sweden and Denmark and Holland, Holland's not wearing masks either. In fact, the head of the health department in Holland said we haven't been able to find any studies that show that it's effective. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
But yet, you know, we don't even consider that. That's just, you know, no. Heresy, right? And so, you know,
by the way, if you post this stuff, you're a lunatic.
Right.
They come out, you know, Facebook's banning you. They're taking our posts down.
Well, I said this before about chiropractic. 40 years ago, chiropractic would have been considered fringe treatment, right? It wasn't necessarily ostracized, but I wouldn't necessarily say it was welcome with open arms. However, it wasn't like considered heresy, right? It wasn't like, oh my God, look at you crazy. And so slowly but surely, the benefits of chiropractic, you know, became more and more mainstream. And now there's a lot of people that benefit greatly from that kind of, I would call it medical treatment, right? I don't think there's any dispute today that chiropractic, you know, services as a legitimate medical treatment for a lot of ailments, right?
Yeah.
And so when you look at medicine in general, we should be having conversations about, well, maybe look at the studies. In Peru, they have the highest mortality rate at 4%. Maybe we should look at these things with open eyes. And when we don't, you have to question, why are we not looking at it like that? Why are we so one-sided? Yeah. And the only thing you can come back to is the politics and the election.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll talk about some. Actually, this is a post from the Washington Post. We'll talk about that, why it is political. It is actually Andrew Cuomo earlier today, this week in one of his conference calls, said, I'm not blaming anybody. This isn't political. Yeah. Right. All right, Mike Lomas, Gunwiggle Financial Guys. Actually, Mike Hayflick's going to join us. We're going to talk a little bit of Social Security for the next segment, and we'll go back into the place where money meets politics after that. So stick with us, folks. Going to jump around a little bit, having some fun, as always. Financial Guys Radio Network. If you need our team, if you think like us, 833-FIN-GUYS. Whether you're in Rochester, Western New York, or down in South Florida, we are a one-stop financial shop. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Financial Guys.
This is the show where money meets politics. I'm your host today, Glenn Wiggle, here with Mike Lomas.
It's time to talk money.
Do you know what he's done? The gap between the rich and the poor is going down. We've got 3.6% unemployment rates. Do you know what this man is doing?
The media will come out as the lapdogs, kissing the butt of the Democrat Party.
To reach Glenn and Mike now, call 803-0930.
Alrighty, welcome back. Mike Lomas, Glenwiggle Financial Guys. And as promised, we're going to do one segment in the first hour, one segment in the second hour with our head of our Social Security team, certified Social Security claiming strategist, Mike Hayflick. And we're going to talk a little bit about Social Security. And don't worry, we'll be back mixing in politics. I say don't worry because I know a lot of you love the political side of it, but it's just as important that we once in a while step out, feature some of our departments, and talk about some things that really matter. Mike Hayflick, appreciate you popping in and out. You're going to spend time the first hour here and second hour. Let me just start out with this. You know, you are a certified Social Security claiming strategist. I have stressed that so much over the last bunch of years that if you're going to retire, you got to consider Social Security. And it really, really, truly is important to have somebody that has a certification. There's a lot of knockoffs out there that, you know, say they're Social Security guys or Social Security folks, but they're really not certified. But Social Security, man, it's amazing to me how many planning firms really have no clue about Social Security how important it is, right? I think it's what, on average, like 30% of people's or 50% of people's income in retirement.
Yeah, and we've seen people where it's all of their needs are met by Social Security.
So 100% of your needs are met by Social Security, and a lot of times people are spending 15 minutes trying to figure out, well, I'll just do this plan or that plan, as opposed to how many options are there? Hundreds of options,
so many options. I mean, everything relates to, is it just you as an individual? Are you married? Are you divorced? Have you been unfortunately widowed? There's so many different factors. I mean, think of it like this, Mike. If people are getting 30 to 40% of their income in retirement from Social Security, and then they just want to focus on that wealth that they've got and think that, well, if I only took 2 to 3% a year out of my capital, right, my pile of wealth that I've accumulated, I mean, 2 to 3% versus the 30 to 40% benefit that you'll have, it's guaranteed, inflation adjusted. It's highly tax favorable. I don't think people understand how tax efficient a retirement plan can be. But there's such a small amount of emphasis on this. Most financial planners just don't know how to attack it. They just don't know.
Yeah.
If they're approached with the question, usually what they'll do is try to think, well, all right, and the wheels are turning, and they're thinking, I need to retain the client.
Mm-hmm.
We've been friends. I make money from these clients. What do they think? Yeah. And they just go along with, well, you know, if you feel like you want to take it, sure, go ahead, Sally.
Yeah.
I'm on board. It's not helping Sally.
Right.
By giving her just a sort of an emotional, you know, like I'm your friend type of decision.
Yeah.
They don't help people because they don't have the information. They don't have the expertise. And they certainly don't have the activity that we, myself, Ron Reinstein, have of talking to people about these really, really important decisions.
Yeah. By the way, if you need one of our team members, if you're thinking about retiring, trying to figure out Social Security for yourself, 833-FIN-GUYS, whether you're in the New York area, whether it's Rochester, we've got offices in Rochester, of course, Buffalo, New York, here, Western New York, Williamsville, New York, and down south, down in Jupiter, Florida as well, in Palm Beach area. You know, Mike, a lot of times I hear some folks say, well, I'm just going to go online, and they've got these calculators that I can use. Or I've even seen financial planners do that, where they'll use these age-based calculators. And I know as a certified Social Security claiming strategist, that frustrates you a little bit because you'll say, look, if you know when the good Lord's going to take you, then that calculator might actually work, right?
Right.
But even with the good knowing the good Lord may take you, there's still factors. If God was to say, okay, you will die at 81, there's more to it than just the mathematical equation of maximizing
Far more, because literally I could do, I could tell people, if your full retirement age is 66, that's what I would call the 100% benefit, the full benefit that you've achieved. Now, it doesn't stop there. If they waited even longer, all the way up to age 70, the maximum age, they'd get even 8% more per year each of those next 4 years. But the point would be, at 62, you would take, at the earliest moment possible, you'll get 75% of your benefit. What does that mean? It means that the choice between 62 and 66 means that you'll break even at 78 years old. And I say to people, so if you can tell me when you're going to die, I could pretty much give you the exact optimal moment for you to take your benefit. If that's all you want to know is, will I get the same amount of money out of the system one way or another? It's far more important to have guaranteed, think of that, guaranteed income, not the hope and the expectation, the prayer of, you know, your own investments doing what you need.
Yeah. Now it's not only your, oftentimes it's not just your life expectancy.
Right.
Now it's your spouse's life expectancy,
That's
right?
A great
One
point.
Of those are going to go away. So if the good Lord does send you a message and say, here's what I'm going to take you. Also, to really do the calculation the right way, you've got to figure out, okay, when's my spouse going to die?
No doubt. And historically, what has happened over the many, many years, men had often been the bigger breadwinners. They've earned the most of the income. They have the higher benefit level. And what they end up doing is emotional fear, whatever, maybe a bad plan or bad advisor says, sure, you've retired, take your Social Security benefit. What happens is, that gentleman often is the one who passes away first, and now he's left his wife, a widow, with a much smaller benefit than she could have otherwise had they decided to maybe use their capital, use some of their wealth, and just delay. Maybe it's just because the markets are good. There's good tax environment. Maybe someone's still working part-time. There might not be a need to take the Social Security benefit right away.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is the bigger benefit stays in the household, and that person, whoever it is, whether it's the woman or the gentleman, they've only got one Social Security benefit now. That's highly significant.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And a lot of planners, they just don't think of that. They don't have the right mindset. They don't see it through the same lens that we do as specialists.
Yeah, and I think and the planning for Social Security is going to change. I mean, one of the things you just highlighted on is, you know, years ago, most often the man was the breadwinner, so to speak. That's mm-hmm. changing significantly, right? Every day. More and more women are now becoming the higher wage earner
right.
or the equal wage earner, right? So that's going to change how Social Security planning plays itself out over the next 10, 20, 30 years.
It does. There's no question about it. And it's the pairing of different benefits for two people in that example. If you're married, you can – there's so many ways you can take advantage of some of the rules. But then you also have to think, where else will I have income from? Will I have pensions? Do I have enough wealth to actually pull from? One of the things a lot of people believe, and they hear this in the media, they hear it in different, you know, I think a little bit more antiquated studies, that there's certain safe amounts of wealth that they can, you know, pull or use. But what they fail to remember is the markets do go up and down. We just saw a significant drawback. I mean,
yeah.
February, March. I mean, this was a big, big deal. If you were taking a real significant amount of income out of your wealth during that time, we think of it as dollar cost ravaging. You're taking money out of declining assets. It takes more shares to liquidate to get you the income you need, and you cannot replenish that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you're retired, you're retired. The assumption is that you're probably not making the full-time income anymore. But nobody wants to go back to work, not out of a necessity, maybe just for fun. But the whole point is, if you can establish having more guaranteed, inflation-adjusted, highly tax-favorable income, then you've mitigated some of the risks that the markets and low, low interest rates will bring. So it's just so essential. You know, you talk to someone like me or Ron Reinstein or any other certified Social Security claiming strategist, and you're going to see this through a much, much different lens. And I'd highly encourage you to do that before you make that permanent decision to take your benefits.
Yeah. Maybe in the next hour when you join us, I want to talk more about that, because I want to talk more about asset segmentation when you join us mm-hmm. next hour, and as opposed to asset allocation.
Right.
We always hear people say, you know, diversify, diversify, diversify. I've said that a million times over the last 20 years on this show, right? Diversify, diversify, diversify. Diversification, though, is not enough when you get into retirement. It's diversification and then understanding and really being, you know, specifically understanding what each bucket is mm-hmm. in and where it's in, so you can pull from the right bucket along the way. And I definitely want to talk more about that. And you've always said, we want to do a retirement plan with the least amount of risk as possible. And
mm-hmm.
and that's not only stock market risk, but inflationary risk. You know, it's all about your income, right? I mean, so many times on this show, people will say, how much money do I need to retire? That's my number one question we get. And I'll always say the same thing, $100 million. And they'll say, come on, what do you mean $100 million? Well, and I'll say $10,000. So they'll say, come on, why are you doing this to me, Mike? And I'll say, well, that's an impossible question for me to answer unless I know what type of lifestyle you want to live, right? If your lifestyle is $200,000 or your lifestyle is $100,000 or your lifestyle is $400,000 or your lifestyle is $20,000, all that is going to change how much money you need, how we plan Social Security, right? Are you married? Do you have a life insurance policy where if you mm-hmm. did take Social Security early and something happened to you and now your spouse is losing half that Social Security, are you in a position, is that okay, right? Well, we talk about the what-if game, right?
Yep.
And that comes back to, by the way, folks, if you're not working with a financial planner, if you are working with a financial planner, but they're not using financial planning software, that should be a clue for you to start to interview some other folks. I mean, mm-hmm. there is too much technology out there for you not to be taking advantage of that. And in our office, not only do we have financial planning software, we have specific Social Security software designed only for certified Social Security claiming strategists. So it's another layer of planning. And oftentimes what we do, we'll walk people through both software packages mm-hmm. that will really allow us to optimize your plan, right? To say, here's your lifestyle. Here's the optimization of that. Here's how we think, you know, Social Security should play out. And by the way, here's the what-if game. What if something happens to you? What if something happens to your spouse? If you need our team, by the way, 833-FIN-GUYS, Certified Social Security Claiming Strategist down in South Florida and out in the Rochester market. And, of course, our team right here in Western New York, led by Mr. Hayflick, leading the whole team, actually. If you need our help, 833-FIN-GUYS, if you'd like to pop in for a complimentary consultation. Mike's going to join us in the next hour, too, so make sure you listen to the whole show. We'll talk more about asset segmentation next hour. Thanks, and we'll see you in a little bit.
Sounds good. All right.
All right, quick break. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle Financial Guys. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Financial Guys. To reach Glenn and Mike now, call 803-0930, toll-free at 800-616-WBEN, and cell calls are free at star 930.
All right, welcome back. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, Financial Guys, place where money meets politics, and appreciate Mike Hayflick stopping in. He's going to come back and join us the next hour, too. He's got some running around to do, and he's going to pop back in the studio here, so appreciate his time and help. If you need an independent, certified Social Security claiming strategist, if you're thinking about retirement, you must think Social Security. And you must understand that it really is a cornerstone for a lot of portfolios. Use our independent certified team as a resource. Don't forget, folks, we've got independent Medicare reps. Tis the season for that. If you need help, it is a complimentary consultation. You can pop into any one of our offices, whether it's Rochester, Buffalo, or down in South Florida, independent Medicare reps. And then, of course, our home and auto division as well. We have over 25 different lines that he can shop, 25 different companies that Mike Spiraz and his team can shop to help save you money. Give him 14 minutes and let him shop over 25 companies. It's so easy. A liberal could do it. Use him and his team as a resource. Again, 833-FIN-GUYS.
Now, as I was talking about some money with Mike Hayflick in studio there and going through some of the income planning, I thought we'd just talk for a second. You had mentioned earlier, and continuing on with the money conversation, about being a stock picker's market. And I think you're absolutely right. This is not a broad market where you can just throw a dartboard and everything's going up. I mean, Carnival Cruise, those types of companies, airlines, have still not really experienced the kind of recovery that an Apple, Amazon, a Netflix, some of the others have. Zoom, and so many new companies.
And it may take a while. I mean, people are scared to death.
For sure.
The mainstream media is so, is just disgustingly dirtbaggish.
Oh, yeah, no question.
I mean, they refuse to play anything optimistic.
No.
And I mean, think about that. I'm going to continue to say this, folks. The CDC has ended the pandemic. That should be a top story, right?
Yeah,
that should be a top story. You should have half the media saying, why are we still not open, right? The CDC comes out and says, hey, only 6% of the 200,000 people actually died of COVID. That should be a top story. You know what they do? They bury it.
Well, they'll bury it after the election. We're going to talk about that in a second. But before we get there, what I was going to say in the stock picker's market, when you have wealth, and a lot of people and a lot of our clients have gathered the wealth now, they're over $1 million, they've got $2 million, they've got $3 million, but they're still using tools for folks that are $100,000 investors. And those are fine tools. And don't get me wrong.
Yep.
Things like ETF, mutual funds, asset allocation portfolios. We offer all of them.
We use them every day.
We use them every day. They're great portfolios. But as you get to a point when you have a certain amount of wealth, you have the opportunity to start to buy individual securities that will give you a little bit more concentrated portfolios in certain cases, but you can still diversify because you have the amounts of assets to do it, right? It's called our private wealth group. We have a whole division under our money management arm, Independent Solutions, that can help you with that. But I'm still seeing a lot of clients that are coming in going, I don't know why I'm not performing like Amazon or some of these other. I see the NASDAQ doing well, or I see the Dow doing well, and I don't feel like I'm participating. And I look at their portfolios, and I got $1.5 million, $2 million, and it's in like a Target retirement fund or something, or one balance thingy, an ETF. It's like you're just doing. It's not any more expensive to get to a private wealth group type of relationship. Yeah. Don't shortchange yourself, And I think a lot of people just maybe forget. They get complacent. They get comfortable. The problem with some of those other types of investments, like a Target fund or other things like that, is that you don't have the opportunity to rebalance. Oftentimes, some of these internal expense ratios, it can be high. You're stuck.
You don't know what's in there.
You're not what's in there. Sometimes you're stuck with things that you may not want to have. We may not want to have international exposure in certain markets
right
now.
And some of these companies
maybe you do
bundle up their own stuff. Right? They can't sell it over here.
That's
So right. they bundle it up you and throw it in there.
A great example of that. Remember when we were kids, everyone you were kids, you used to get the six pack of cereal with a little mini cereals. Like that was a treat. It was fun, right? There was, but they always stuck like the Special K in there. Remember? Right? Because that was their way of getting rid of some of that stuff, right? Out of all those six, it was like,
sugar. Oh, healthy.
Right? It was always one box in there. They would slip in that's like true. That, right?
That's true.
And that's like some of these packaged products, right? Yep. They slip in that Special K that you don't want, and it's in there, right?
I want all Fruit Loops. Right. I know, yeah, that's right.
Listen, if you have the wealth to pick your cereal, for gosh sakes, go out there and do yourself a favor. If you want to interview our team, we have a fantastic private wealth group. It's got 180 years of investment experience, mutual fund managers, two CFAs. One of our CFAs was on CNBC just again this Thursday. He's been on every week, if not twice a week. He's one of the top tech analysts in the country. And so, again, if you want to interview our team and find out what we have to offer, not only for large investors, but for small investors as well, we don't discriminate. But give us a call at the office, 833-FIN-GUYS or thefinancialguys.com.
Yeah, but just tuning in, by the way, Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, the place where money meets politics. You know, for those of you that say, oh, this COVID's not, it's not political, this is how the Washington Post. Yeah,
this is great. Yeah.
Experts project autumn. Now, look at let me just preface this.
I wish this was our podcast so we could actually draw the chart here. You know,
we'll have this. By the way, our podcast, go to our Facebook page for, I'll go to our website for all that information. Now, I understand through folks like Mark Poloncarz, Andrew Cuomo, that this COVID stuff is smart, right? Smart. Like it knows not to go into Walmart.
Yeah.
But it knows that, look at, if you're going to go into a restaurant, it'll catch you if you're walking to the table, but not if you're sitting at the table. I mean, this thing's really smart. Like, you can't just sit and have a beer at the bar with a buddy that you're going to do in your back, sit and have a beer in your backyard.
You drove them in the same car.
Yeah. But
you can't sit next to them at the bar.
If you eat a sandwich and it's the appropriate size sandwich, then COVID's going to catch you. So this thing is ridiculously bright. Yep. I've never seen a virus like this. But now, experts.
It's also racist, by the way.
It is racist, Experts project autumn surge in coronavirus cases with a peak after Election Day.
Shocking.
So now, like, it knows the date.
About the 4th of November? Right after?
Well, I guess right after.
5th or 6th?
Yeah, like long period. It's a second wave coming. That's amazing. A new thing, right?
Yeah,
the
second wave. Yep. Right?
So all the models, by the way, folks, the average model was off 96%. Yeah. 96%. But now they're projecting the day, a long period second wave of infections and death, possibly at a catastrophic scale.
Right around election time.
It could begin well before Election Day, November 3rd. But they're really thinking that around that time,
that's when
that we're
going
to see an autumn surge. Right? This is out of the Washington Post. Now, I understand that there's some liberal nutjobs that write this stuff. Who picks this up and goes, oh, my God.
Liberals.
Election Day. Liberals. This is unreal how this is going to happen.
That's why liberals are mailing in their votes right now, because they're thinking, oh, my God, there's going to be a surge. I can't go to the polls.
Yeah.
Again, I think this is going to backfire all the way around for the Democrats, no matter how you slice it. They're scaring people. I can tell you the Republican folks I'm talking to, including some folks that are in their 80s and approaching 90, are telling me, Glenn, I would crawl through glass to vote on Election Day. I don't care if it's a 50% death rate. I am going to vote for Donald Trump. So I think on election night, you're going to see a tremendous surge of voters that are hitting the polls, mostly Republican. But so I think this scare tactic is going to backfire on them. I think the riots in the streets are going to backfire on them.
I think
trying to pin Trump with the looting and burning in these major Democrat-led cities, I think that's going to backfire on them.
Yeah, they're pinning down the COVID, right? That's mm-hmm. Donald Trump that caused that, right? So it's a global COVID problem, right? Global, but apparently Trump was the one who brought it to the United States of America. Like, he flew it on Air Force One into town and let it out, right?
So, now they're blaming him for, he should have shut down Europe, not Asia. And, they're going to try to, who's the first debate moderator? The guy from Fox, Chris Wallace?
Chris Wallace.
So he's going to, is it Chris Wallace? Who's the first moderator?
No, I think it is Chris Wallace.
So he's going to try to tag him, right? He's going to try to, he's not a big Trump fan. He's going to try to go after him. A lot of this is going to be on the COVID. It's going to be COVID. Well, you could have done better with COVID. Biden's got a pass because he wasn't there for COVID, even though Biden's messed everything else up for 47 years. Yeah. It'll be about COVID.
Well, he was there. He was the one, remember, saying he's xenophobic. You can't bring people in from, you can't shut people in from coming here from other countries.
But here's how Donald Trump counters that. And I hope his advisors are telling us. I wish somebody would just call me one time and say, how do you think we should handle this, Glenn? Because they never do. But here's what I would do. It's just got to be about, you know, when he's talking about COVID, it's got to be about China. It's got to be about China. He's got to turn around and say, look, no matter who's in the White House, we did everything we could, but you can't stop an invisible enemy like a virus like that. We know this. What we can do is you can stop it at the source, so you can hold the people accountable who let it out to begin with, and that is China.
Yeah.
He's got to tie it back to China. Now, who owns the Biden family? Not Brazil.
Yep.
Not, well, the Ukraine might, but definitely China, right? The Chinese Communist government.
Hunter, well, he stepped back from getting the $80,000 checks now during election season.
That was from the Ukraine, but there's information out there with Breitbart just the last week or so that they're tying, you know, $100,000 lines of credit back to Chinese companies that the Biden family is living off of going around the world on.
Miraculously owned.
So if I'm Trump, you know, and they say, well, you know, you did $200,000.
Good old Lunchbox Joe, right?
Right. Lunchbox Joe would have had the same 200,000 deaths. To be honest with you, you know, could I have done more at the federal level? Yeah, I think I could have. I think I could have been stronger with the states. But the state governors wanted to control the action state by state.
Yeah, they wanted to do it themselves. Specifically, the Democrat-controlled states wanted to run their own states.
And I let them do that, right? And you see now, state by state, a tremendous disparity between the numbers, right?
Yep.
Florida, 30-some thousand. New York, 30-some thousand. Florida, 10,000.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Now, both are
big difference.
Both states are wrong.
Sure. Yeah.
The CDC has said, okay, if Florida's 10,000, that's really about 600, right?
Right.
And you know,
but I think that's how Trump turns it in the campaign, in the debate, right?
It's like, no doubt.
Look at the state by state, and then I think you tie it back to China.
No doubt.
He hammers China on it and says, look, you know, Biden would have to say that you would have done something differently is ridiculous. Hindsight, Monday morning quarterbacking is always the easiest thing to do, and those people are never right. But the reality of it is that who has been on the payroll of communist China for a long, long time? That's been the Biden family. You cannot dispute that.
Nope.
That's obvious. He was there for 8 years, and they haven't done anything. Now let's talk about my record and what I have accomplished.
Yeah.
And I think if he spins it to that and he continues to stay on that message, he can talk about the USMCA deal. He can talk about the China tariffs. He can talk about the prison reform.
About lower taxes.
How
about bringing manufacturing jobs here? How about repatriating millions, trillions of dollars back?
Yep.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, whole another hour to go here. You can listen to us on iHeartRadio and radio.com. User team as a resource. By the way, our website, thefinancialguys.com. Don't forget about our podcast. And by the way, like us on YouTube. You're getting a lot of followers on YouTube. We need to get the conservative message out there, folks. So make sure you like us on YouTube. And anything, go to our website for all the information, whether it's Twitter, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter.
I think it's thumbs up on YouTube, actually.
Thumbs up.
What? Yeah, subscribe.
Subscribe. Whatever.
Know.
They know.
Like
the YouTubers know.
They know.
They know.
Hey, another hour to go. Don't go away.
Do you even know what a write-off is? No, I don't. But they do, and they're writing it off.
That's right.
Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle Financial Guys. Whole another hour to go. We'll be back. Financial Guys, Radio Network.
The following is paid programming.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management. The Financial Guys and Independent Solutions are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, LLC. The political views on this show do not reflect the views of Peak Brokerage. This show is not intended to provide specific legal, tax, investment, or other professional advice. Please consult a professional for your specific situation. This radio show is for informational purposes only and is not intended to solicit or recommend any particular security. The information discussed is obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but its accuracy and completeness are not guaranteed.
It's time to talk money.
To heed the timeless advice from Teddy Roosevelt, speak softly and carry a big stick. I promise you, the president has a big stick.
And Corn Pop was a bad dude, and he ran a bunch of bad boys.
It's the Financial Guys radio program with local financial experts Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
I got hairy legs, and the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down.
And thank you, Dr. Pepper, and thank you, Chancellor, or Dr. Paper.
Because I learned about kids jumping on my lap, and I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
Now, here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
Alrighty, welcome back. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle Financial Guys, the place where money meets politics. And if you need anything from us, you want to... pop into our office, 833-FIN-GUYS. And we'll see if we get to some of your calls and questions here. Mike Hayflick's going to join us again this hour, talking a little bit about Social Security. Of course, he's a certified Social Security claiming strategist. And we're going to mix in a segment here just specifically focused on Social Security and highlighting one of our departments. Of course, for those of you that may not be so familiar with us, we are this place where money meets politics, but we are a one-stop financial shop. And we have registered investment advisors, certified financial planners, certified financial analysts in our office. And we do work as a team. We also have a Medicare department where we have AHIP certified Medicare reps. We have certified Social Security claiming strategists. We have a college planning department. If you have a junior or a senior in high school and you need help with college planning, Jeff Boron and his team can help you out. And home and auto. We have over 25 different companies that we could shop to save you money. So absolutely no reason for you to do the shopping. It's not going to save you a penny. We can do the shopping for you. Over 25 companies, whether it's your house, your boat, your automobiles, your business. We work with a lot of business owners to try to shop and save them money and use our team as a resource for sure. Again, independent Medicare reps and health insurance. We have Brian Janik leading up our health insurance. You're not sure you lost your job. You need health insurance. You got a small business out there and you're not getting the service you need when it comes to health insurance. Use our team as a resource, 833-FIN-GUYS. Locally here, 633-1515 if you're in Buffalo. And again, 833-FIN-GUYS. Go to our website, thefinancialguys.com.
You know, we talked last hour a little about the income planning side of it. We talked last hour about some of the growth side of it. And I think both are important. You know, it's interesting. We are a one-stop financial shop, I think one of the few that are out there. And so it gives us the opportunity to both, on the one hand, you know, specialize or focus in certain areas by having those departments, but it also gives us the opportunity to cover a lot of areas without having to wear the same hat. I heard a commercial recently for somebody. I can't remember where it was. I don't know if it was New York or somewhere in my travels, but it was, they were like an income planning shop. Like, wow, you know, you go to this place if you want to grow your money, but when you retire, that's when you need income. Now, I agree with that, except that's all they do, right? Yeah. So do you, I mean, if you have a trusted advisor, do you necessarily want to switch gears at some point and say, oh, sorry, hey, thanks, Bill, for all the work you did to grow me this $1 million, but you don't really work on income, so I'm going to go work with somebody else. We do all of it, right? Yeah. So you can literally, we've had clients that have been with us for 25 years or even longer in some cases.
All the phases, yep.
Right, all the phases through multiple companies, and we can handle everything for folks. We have, you know, I've got clients that are kinds of 90, right? Clients that are
900.
We got 100. Right, 100. Yep. So, you know, but I think the important part about our office and really what makes us different is that we can take you to retirement and beyond and into retirement, right? Mm-hmm. So we have those folks that can focus and specialize on income planning that are certified in Social Security and income planning strategies like Mike Hayflick, right? Ron Reinstein and others. But of course, we have the growth side. And, you know, we talk about, you know, John Thurr and Paul Meeks and the investment committee.
Yeah.
One of the things that I mentioned at the top of the hour, and I talked about it more from a growth side, was some of these allocation, automatic allocation part, the freedom funds, the retirement series, these types of things. And again, one of the disadvantages is that you don't have the ability to really control the allocation. They can slip in that, you know, I use the cereal box, you know, the six cereal boxes. They always slip in the one you don't want, like, you know. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with a lot of these package funds or package things. They will slip in something that maybe is a, not a great performing fund inside of their, you know, whatever that series is, or Fidelity Retirement Series or T. Rowe, a whole bunch of them. Some are great. But one of the big downsides that people forget about is when you do go to harvest income, right? We talk about the principles of dollar cost averaging in a positive way, right? So when the markets are volatile and things are down, you're buying more shares. Unfortunately, the same principle works in a negative way when you're taking money out.
Yep.
And again, I see a lot of people that have gotten complacent that come into our office and they're taking income already. They're in retirement. Things aren't going so well. They see their shares dwindling and their value dwindling. They go, why is that? Well, they're taking a systematic distribution out monthly from their overall one fund or portfolio, and what's happening is they're not able to select where they want to take it from. So, you know, what's happening is they're just liquidating more shares when they're down. Instead of maybe having a bucket or a segment, you'll hear Mike Hayflick talk about asset segmentation oftentimes, that is not going to go down, that we're going to draw income from while the other stuff does grow and replenish that. So those are just different little strategies that you can use to really prolong the income that you have, to give yourself that little extra advantage. Dollar cost averaging is a great advantage when you're accumulating money and putting money in your 401k. It can be a very dangerous disadvantage if you're harvesting your income in the wrong way. So. Yep.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we got a few segments left. We are going to have Mike K. Flick. He's going to be back, I think, not the next segment, but the segment after that. So make sure you tune in to stick with us here for Mike K. Flick. We'll talk about, by the way, Florida, but Governor DeSantis making some awesome decisions. Yeah. We'll talk about
he's
doing.
Much different, Florida.
Yeah, we'll talk about what he's doing down
Very
there.
Very different, no bail.
There's no secret why, you know, millions of people, hundreds of thousands of people are leaving, millions of people, really, over the next bunch of years will be living in Florida. And a million more have left New York State, right? I mean, just the stupidity out of this state is unreal. But you're seeing, and what makes me happy is there's still fluidity in this country, right? You can still at least sort of escape, sort of, and crawl over the wall and get to places like Florida. He's doing a great job. We'll talk about that. Well, we talked a little bit about how smart this virus was, and the Washington Post experts project autumn surge in coronavirus cases with a peak right after Election Day. And this is actually out of Los Angeles. And if you look at bright decisions, boy, many of them coming out of Los Angeles over the last
decade or two.
Yeah, not. This is the L.A. County Health Director. And by the way, the Health Director, Erie County out in Rochester, you're welcome to come on this show. I know you get paid through the taxpayers. I'm not sure why you continue to hide from the taxpayers, but we'd love to hear, you know, your thoughts on this. I remember the CDC said this is not a pandemic anymore, yet you're still out trying to shut down restaurants. LA County Health Director says schools won't reopen until after the November election.
Huh.
Yeah, so again, we're going to keep the schools closed in L.A. because apparently, and again, I think that now this, they probably, she, the L.A. County Health Director, is probably working with the Washington Post, figuring out that the
same
cycle
data
of
and
this,
science.
Same data and science. These are the same global warming folks, the same ones that were 96% off on predicting, you know, the 2 million deaths in the, you know, United States of America. But now L.A. County Health Director, she just says, look, we're just not going to reopen until after the November election. Now, when Trump wins, I wonder, what, do they just close forever? Or what, do we just, we switch from teaching these kids mathematics and English to what, like therapy? Is that what we're going to do? Just set up therapists and say,
Yeah, calm out.
Like, Yeah, so L.A. County Health Director says schools won't reopen until after the November election, and experts have now projected that the surge in corona cases will peak right after Election
Day. Right on Election Day, almost. Yeah. It's uncanny how that works. It really
Unreal how smart this is, man.
Amazing. It's obviously, again, folks, if you don't see the political side of this, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Let's see.
We're going to take a quick break here.
You want to take a quick? I was going to say. You want to talk about Governor DeSantis now? Or you want to get to it after?
You know what? I think. Yeah. Let's. No. We'll take a quick break. And we'll come back. We're going to talk about some of the positives that are coming out of some of the states like Florida and some of the leadership like Governor DeSantis, who's really
huge
doing
difference.
A bang up job. Really great job. And of course, that's why people are moving there. I think that's, you know, to me, that's what should show a winning state, right? You know, are people leaving? Are they coming, right? It's like a winning business, right? Are you profitable? Are people using your product? You know, yes, they are. No, they're not. Well, the state of New York clearly is a sell, and the state of Florida is clearly a buy right now. So if you need our help throughout the week, we do manage money for a living. Use our team as a resource, folks. If you think like us, we get to work with people Monday through Friday that think like us. Our entire team thinks like us, and that is awesome. 833-FIN-GUYS, if you're here in Buffalo, 633-1515. If you need help with your Medicare, we have independent AHIP-certified reps. These folks just do a Medicare, but they focus on it, and they are AHIP-certified. They're here for enrollment season, so if you need their help, 633-1515, 833-FIN-GUYS. We have folks out in Rochester as well. We're going to take a real quick break. We'll be right back. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, Financial Guys on the Financial Guys Radio Network.
Forget the extremists. It's simple. No one hunts with an assault rifle. No one needs 10 bullets to kill a deer.
You're listening to The Financial Guys, Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas. To reach Glenn and Mike now, call 803-0930. Toll free at 800-616-WBEN. And cell calls are free at *930.
All right, welcome back. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, Financial Guys, Financial Guys Radio Network, the place where money meets politics. If you need us throughout the week, folks, it's a one-stop financial shop, whether You're here in our flagship office, Western New York, 30,000 square foot, Spindrift and Worley, a number of different experts in there. But the same thing is true out in Rochester. If you need our help, whether it's looking for retirement planning, we've got registered investment advisors, certified financial analysts, certified financial planners, independent AHIP certified reps. It is tis the season for Medicare, and we have independent AHIP certified reps that can help guide you and look at your existing plan, where you are. Is it the most cost effective? Is it the right plan for you? And do you need to make any minor changes? If you're out of network, by the way, I know that's a big thing, and I'm not sure I'm even saying that right, but if you're if your doctor is getting rid of your plan, and that's happened quite a bit over the last bunch of years, where the doctor says, look, I'm not dealing with this anymore, you don't know where to go, our independent AHIP certified reps can help you, and it's a complimentary consultation. So don't panic. Just call them, 633-1515, 833-FIN-GUYS, and of course, retirement planning. And then again, home and auto, which is huge. I mean, we can shop over 25 companies to save you money. Mike Sparaz and his team, Brad out there, just a great, great guys, and they can really help shop. Let them do the shopping for you to find the company that's most cost effective for what you're trying to do, whether it's your home, your auto, your business, an apartment complex, whatever it is. Mike can help you save you money. Give him 14 minutes. Let him shop over 25 companies.
You know, just to back up to Medicare for a second, one of the cool tools that we're going to be rolling out soon is an online application where you can get right on with one of our AHIP certified agents and walk through in your area a number of online questions. So he sends you a link, you log on to a website, you start going through, and it starts to narrow down your choices. So that'll be coming out in the next probably
same with home and auto as well.
Awesome. Yeah, it's really cool. You can kind of see it right in front of you. You don't have to ever leave the comfort of your own home. Just pick up the phone, give us a call. We'll send you a link. We'll walk you right through it.
Yeah.
Back to the DeSantis thing. I love this guy. I got to tell you. You want to talk about a no-bail a law. This is the way the no-bail law should work.
So let's see. The no-bail law in New York is letting criminals out. And
So you could have violently assault a police officer in New York. No joke. I tell people in Florida this, and they're like, no way.
Nah, that's not true.
No, come on.
Yep.
You can assault a police officer in Florida. They will let you out that afternoon with no bail requirement whatsoever.
You'll show up.
To do it in a state where you have bail, well, Nancy Pelosi and Kamala Harris will bail you out anyways. Yeah. But in Florida, if you are caught.
Or Mini Mike.
Yeah, right. If you're in Florida, now this hasn't passed yet. This is a proposal. It will likely pass, however. Yeah. This is a proposal released by Governor DeSantis on Monday. He's got a friendly Republican legislature in Florida, which means that this will probably go through. But among the many things that he proposed was a no-bail law. And the way that the no-bail law works is if you get caught violently protesting, I love the sheriff. He pulls out pictures. This is a protest. This is a riot.
Yeah.
Notice the burning buildings in the background.
He was great.
He did such a great job. But so anyway, now if you get caught harassing patrons at a restaurant or screaming in somebody's face or blocking traffic, you get arrested in the commission of something like that. You go to prison. You don't get bail until your first hearing. So you don't get let out that day. You're not bailed out the next day. If your hearing is 2 weeks from now, your first hearing,
sit and wait.
You're going to sit and wait for that first hearing. So you are absolutely going to be sitting in a jail cell.
Love it.
Until you sit in front of a judge. Now, the judges in Florida are not the easiest folks.
Yeah.
So when you get in front of that judge, don't expect them to say, oh, we'll let little Billy out. No. Little Billy is probably going to have to pony up some big, big cash from mom and dad.
How about this one, Glenn? This is a real concern. Actually, when they were protesting in Western New York on Transit Road, our office wasn't too far from there, and some of our folks leave our office and go north, which is where they were protesting. And what they were afraid of is, oh my gosh, I may have my child. I pick my child up after work, and I've got to go through that area. Mm-hmm. What if these protesters start smashing my car with my children in it? Mm-hmm. What if I have to leave and then I hurt one of these people, right?
Yep, Mike, between May 27th and July 9th, according to this article, 66 rioters, protesters, or you want to call them, were hit and struck by vehicles.
Yeah, that could happen, right? I would assume if you're like out in an actual road where trucks and cars go by.
Yes, or wearing all black like Antifa on a dark highway at night.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So anyway, so in Florida now, if somebody's blocking your vehicle, if you are fleeing a mob, you are now absolved of liability. The proposal, if passed into law, would also absolve a person of liability for killing or injuring someone with their vehicle. if they were fleeing for safety from a mob. So
now in New York, it'll be the opposite.
Oh yeah, you'll be automatically
guilty. You'll be the bad person. Absolutely. For trying to protect your family.
Well, we've seen that with firearms. How many times?
Yeah.
Right. The guys break into a house. The homeowner protects himself with a firearm. It comes out that firearm was from 1950 and it's not registered properly. And next thing you know, instead of going after the criminals, they're giving the criminals a pass or letting the criminal back out with no bail while they're taking that homeowner's firearm because it's illegal and doesn't meet all the requirements.
Yeah, I love this, by the way. Governor DeSantis, man, hats off to you, buddy. I mean, this is exactly what we should be doing, right?
Right.
Nobody cares. Look, you have the right to protest. You don't have the right to smash cars. You don't have the right to stop traffic, by the way. I mean, people have to, people have emergencies. They've got kids at other places. Hey, believe it or not, some people work. They got to go to work, believe it or not.
How about this one? DeSantis also calls for a mandatory minimum 6-month sentence for a person convicted of striking a law enforcement officer during a violent or disorderly assembly. So now in Florida, if this passes, and I God hope it does, I saw a picture of somebody throwing a Molotov cocktail at a police officer and a thing explodes into the street. You get hit with that thing and it lights you on fire. You're going to face serious burns. You're going to have to deal with for the rest of your life if you survive, right? That's what these folks are doing now. I saw a U-Haul pull up where they open up the back door and they're handing out hammers and sticks and signs, our protest signs. They look awful lot like shields, but they're protest signs.
Our protest signs.
Well, now
signs.
In Florida.
Wait a minute, that's a baseball bat.
right.
Well, so now that's a stick we're going to tie it to.
Why is there spikes on the outside of that? That's not defensive. Spikes are not defensive. So anyway, but now if you strike an officer in Florida now, that could get you a mandatory minimum 6 months sitting in jail.
Good.
As it absolutely
should be.
You
by the way, monuments
most of these
as
shootings,
well, by the way. Monuments, by the way.
Yeah, monuments.
You're not just allowed to smash monuments. In the state of Florida.
That's right.
He's going to put you in jail. Love it.
That's right.
Oh, that's another moving truck, by the way. What is that? Oh, yeah. That's another for sale sign on the front lawn.
Taking
in
their
New
family
York state.
To Florida where it's getting safer, not less safe, because that's the way it should be, right?
Yep.
So Florida's putting these things in place. They're not passed yet, but they likely will.
Meanwhile, you've got the state of New York saying, oh, geez, oh, you're a pedophile? Oh, you're back out. Oh, you might have the flu? There's a chance you might get COVID? We better let you out of prison because you're going to roam the streets and make sure you don't infect anybody else.
So here's
Unreal.
Some of the
by the way, if you want to go see your grandma in a nursing home, we don't think that's safe.
Right.
But if your grandmother happened to be a pedophile and she's in Attica or Wendy, no problem. You can visit her on a daily basis.
Right. So here's the new criminal offenses to combat rioting, looting, and violence. Prohibition on violent or disorderly assemblies. Third-degree felony when 7 or more persons are involved in an assembly that caused damage to property or injure other persons. Prohibition on obstructing roadways. Third-degree felony to obstruct traffic during an unpermitted protest. Prohibition on destroying or toppling monuments. You just mentioned it. Mm-hmm. Second-degree felony to destroy a public property during a violent or disorderly assembly. Prohibition on harassment and public accommodations. And I think this is important because, again, I just saw a bunch of people getting screamed in Rochester. Actually, even in South Florida, with this new Breonna Taylor thing that came out this week where they didn't charge the officer for that shooting, but they charged, I don't know if it's the same or a different officer, for wanton endangerment by firing, way too many rounds and some, I think, 3 going through the wall in other apartments, which seems to be an appropriate charge. But they're harassing people in public places. So the first degree misdemeanor now for participation in a violent or disorderly assembly to harass and intimidate. So after the Breonna Taylor thing this past week, even in Florida, in St. Pete's, during the beach, all these restaurants, these protesters went down and harassed people. Well, that's now at least a misdemeanor, if not potentially a felony. And then finally, RICO liability, and this is a big one. This is what the feds need to do. RICO liability attaches to anyone who organizes or funds a violent or disorderly assembly. Mm. Now you can use that law to potentially go after George Soros.
And they need to.
Absolutely.
That's one thing that's so frustrating, right, from an outsider, is why in the world are we not going after some of these funding sources, right?
Yeah, some of these penalties are really great. Mandatory minimum jail sentences for striking a law enforcement officer 6 months. Offense enhancements. Or sentence enhancements for throwing an object during a violent or disorderly assembly that strikes a civilian or law enforcement officer. Two, assault and battery of a law enforcement officer during a violent or disorderly assembly and participation in a voluntary assembly by an individual. So they can up that charge and increase that mandatory jail sentence by quite a bit. This is what we need to make this stop.
Well, now
most Americans want to make this stop. Otherwise, folks, if these governors don't make this stop, if these mayors don't make this stop,
everyday citizens are going to step up. At some point,
we're going to have to say, okay, you know,
you're coming up to me in a restaurant when I'm here with my family. Okay, well, I will defend myself.
Well, we've already got biker gangs out there now that they're calling in, right? We've already got the Proud Boys. I don't think this is a good trend, and I've made that pretty clear. I'm not supporting, advocating, or in any way, shape, or form saying that that's a good thing. All I'm saying is it's going to happen. Yeah. There are going to be good citizens that say,
defend their
enough,
own territory. Right?
Enough. You come into my town, forget it.
Yeah.
Or there's going to become a point where there's going to be a speed dial number for when these punks show up at a restaurant and a whole bunch of bikers show up, and that's not good either because innocent people are going to get hurt and innocent bystanders are going to get hurt.
I'll tell you, the real shame of it here in New York is going to be the fact that we are going to lose the good police officers, the very people that are protecting us. They are already leaving, folks.
Oh,
they're
saying,
I don't want to work for Western New York XYZ Police Department. Mm-hmm. I don't want to work in New York. I want to work in a state like Florida where Governor DeSantis is going to have my back and he's going to care about me and he's going to protect me because I'm here to do good, not bad. Let's take a quick break. By the way, we do manage money for a living. I think Mike Kaeflick, by the way, is going to join us. We're going to talk a little Social Security on the other side of the break here. And we'll end right the way we started this with where money meets politics. So make sure you stick with us. If you need our help, 833-FIN-GUYS, folks, 833-FIN-GUYS, whether you need help with retirement planning, estate planning, college planning, Social Security planning, independent Medicare help, independent AHIP-certified Medicare help. And Mike Spiraz and his team can shop over 25 companies to save you money on your home and auto insurance. Give him 14 minutes. Let him shop over 25 companies for you to save you money. It's so easy, a liberal could do it. Our Facebook page, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and our website, thefinancialguys.com, for all of our social media content, thefinancialguys.com. Real quick break. Mike Kaeflick on the other side of the break. We'll be back here on the Financial Guys Radio Network.
You're listening to The Financial Guys. To reach Glenn and Mike now, call 803-0930, toll free at 800-616-WBEN, and cell calls are free at star 930. Now, here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
All righty, welcome back. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, Financial Guys, the place where money meets politics. And as we've said throughout the show, we've had Mike Kaeflick on the first hour for a segment. He's joining us again. Many of you know Mike. He's a certified Social Security claiming strategist, oftentimes the host of the Financial Guys show, usually once a quarter, maybe twice a quarter. But he's a special guest today, popping in the studio second hour here again. So appreciate you coming in, Mike. First hour we talked a lot about asset accumulation versus retirement planning and understanding why Social Security is so important. You've often said when it comes to retirement income planning, and by the way, your team as certified Social Security claiming strategist have really been working extremely hard all the way up with folks in Boston to really understand the distribution phase. And you've always said to me, Mike, it is so easy to accumulate wealth with a generalist, but man, you better be careful when you retire that you have some specialists on your team. And maybe explain that to our listeners, what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think we can all relate to having good financial health, but I think even more so we can understand good physical health versus poor physical health. Think of it like this. If you're at home, day to day, month to month, you have your every 6 month checkup with a primary care physician. It's on the calendar. You got to get blood work, maybe. Find out how bad your cholesterol levels are, like me, and then tell my doctor I promise to exercise, I promise to eat better, and all that.
Yeah.
And that's all good as you're aging, you're just getting checkups, making sure you're in generally good condition. But I'll tell you what, if it's a Saturday night or a Sunday morning and you've got chest pain, or suddenly you start feeling numbness and you're thinking, oh my gosh, I've never felt this way, you're not calling your primary care physician at that moment.
Right.
He's the generalist. He's helped you stay relatively healthy. What you're doing is likely calling 911. You're going to get rushed to an emergency room, and specialists are going to come in. And that specialist might be a cardiac surgeon, maybe a physician assistant who is in the cardiac area, and they're going to quickly figure out what is going on. Well, if you hadn't found that specialist, you can have like profoundly different outcomes.
Yeah, yeah.
If you call your primary care physician and he says, sure, I'll see you at my office, I mean, it could be too late by the time he sees you. No offense to the generalist, because he'd been good, she'd been very good up to that moment of crisis. When you start to reach that point of retirement and you're really trying to put all these pieces together, the pensions, the, the Social Security, the wealth, all these 401k plans that you've had, maybe old ones, new ones, IRAs, brokerage accounts, you can't imagine that the financial planner, just the generalist financial planner, is going to know how to effectively do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the point is, you don't want to go broke in retirement.
Right, right,
think of it just simply like
you don't
that.
Get a do-over. You know, like you said that when you're in the generalist phase, right, and you're throwing money into a 401k plan, and you can almost in a sense not buy the greatest investments.
Right.
And you know, like oftentimes we'll look at some of these investments and we'll say, well, they're more volatile than the market, but it might not feel like that because you're buying stuff cheaper every time the market drops. You're throwing more money in.
Right. That's right. Right.
You don't get the chance to do that when you retire. There's no do-over.
You don't. And I think the mindset doesn't need to be that you just abandon all these ideas of strategic asset allocation, those ideas of being diversified. I mean, we believe in diversification for people as they accumulate wealth. The thing about this is when you reach retirement, in most cases, there's going to be a distribution of wealth. It's not just see the pile get bigger and bigger anymore. If you think of it this way, if you could uncouple, separate out the wealth that you know will be needed for income only, and you could solve that the day you retire, you could have decades ahead of knowing how much discretionary use, growth, maybe even you've resurrected the idea of legacy for your own kids and grandkids if you have figured out how to use that wealth. So it's just a different lens you need to look through. You've got to imagine separation, segmentation of that wealth, so you can now have purposeful objectives for that wealth.
Yeah. Just tuning in, by the way, Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, Financial Guys. Mike Hayflick, certified head of our Social Security Department, certified Social Security claiming strategist. If you need his team throughout the week, folks, whether you're out in Rochester, down in South Florida, or here in Buffalo, New York, 833-FIN-GUYS, 833-FIN-GUYS. Mike, you've often talked about the complexity of the case. The more assets one has, the more complex sometimes things become, but the more options you have, right?
Right.
I mean, oftentimes, if you don't have any investment money, Social Security planning can be not so complex, right? But the more you afford yourself the opportunity to be able to say, hey, look, I have accumulated $600,000. I have accumulated $1 million. Now you've put yourself in a little bit of a different driver's seat, right?
No doubt. And I think that's such a great point, Mike, because not only you might have more wealth, you might have more options, which also might be more opportunity.
Yeah.
And more opportunity just simply means more wealth that you otherwise thought you wouldn't be able to have for the things that maybe just the impromptu cruise, the impromptu, hey, I want to help my son with a down payment on a home. So many people go into retirement and it's a bit blindly. I mean, they feel like, well, I should be okay. I think I'm going to have the income I'm going to need. But they're counting on great markets. They're counting on tax policy that maybe has been in place. And that doesn't always stay the same. So I think that's such a great point. The more wealth you have, the better the opportunities are to then really carve that wealth up and make super good decisions on claiming your benefits at what would be optimal for you. Mm-hmm. We have trademark software that helps people. And this is not just a simple Excel spreadsheet to do a break-even analysis. It goes far beyond that. And if you don't take the time to do it, it could just be the difference between a failed plan versus a very highly fortified, fully funded or overfunded retirement plan.
Yeah. Before we got to let you go back to the office here, you're, that software is key, right? Because really what the software will show you how to do, and the goal, by the way, in retirement is to use the least amount of your wealth mm-hmm. as possible, right?
Right.
And because you're keeping that principle intact, right? Mm-hmm. I have a lot of folks that say, I'm not leaving my kids a penny. I'm going to use every cent of it. And I'll say, okay, well, that's a great strategy if you know the day you're going to die,
right?
A lot of this stuff, if you know the day you're going to die, we can spend every dollar the week before.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go to Vegas. We'll party it up. But the problem
we'll help
is
you. We'll help you spend
the,
it.
The problem is if the note you received from God had the wrong date in it, now right. you've got right. a few more years that you've got to pay your bills, right? So the key is to look at your wealth as almost like an apple tree, right? You want to make sure you're protecting that apple tree, you're feeding it, you're giving it water, and you're pulling the fruits from it every year, and you're not pulling too much fruit, right? I mean, that's the key,
right.
is to not damage that principle. The least amount of risk is better, right?
Right.
And that's what your software, your trademark software Absolutely. Will help people with.
Yeah, it literally to the dollar will identify what we see as the most optimal plan, and it's often the plan that we have now done the proper strategic asset segmentation of that wealth. You know, think of the mindset needs to change, folks, because as you're working, clearly your income that you're making from your job is paying your bills. You're putting money away into IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, whatever. And it's such a different mindset when you now know I won't be adding to those accounts and I'm not going to work anymore. It's pretty significant, right? I mean, we see people be very, very stressed and panicked. What we've been able to do, and I've found this over and over again, is we can literally quantitatively show people this will work. And I something you mentioned earlier, Mike, about people that just don't have that much wealth. Of course you might have to take Social Security then. I mean, if you're determined to retire at age 63, you have no other sources of wealth, you only have a small IRA, you're going to have to find a way to make your ends meet.
Yeah.
So you might have to take Social Security earlier. But you know, and we're not one to try to push one decision or another. I know whenever we start talking about how Social Security works and the benefits of delaying and how the benefit continues to grow month by month, I know that people are always thinking, oh, he just wants me to take it way later, and he doesn't want me to get my income that I earned and deserved. I'm just going to show you the quantitative data, and I'm going to show you the evidence of how one plan might work. One plan might be very underfunded. One might be fully funded. We're looking for plans where we could say you're so far overfunded to have the retirement you need that you have so far more excess capital that you now have other options. You can, you know, some people literally want to know, can we, you know, for the folks that listen down in Florida, they might think, do I have enough money to go down to Florida for three months?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe you need $4,000 a month, something like that. Rent a place. We can sometimes find those opportunities that were otherwise not even on the table.
Yeah.
Why? Because they went into such a protective shell. Think of it like this. If you have a couple $100,000 and you're thinking you're going to need every penny of that for the rest of your life to live on, what do? You immediately get really safe with your investments. I mean, what are interest rates now, Mark? Aren't they historically low?
Absolutely.
I mean, try to make any money in CDs, the bond type investments, treasuries, it's really difficult.
Yeah, and to your guys' research and working with these folks out of Boston, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a huge part of all this, right? I mean, years ago, you could put your money in a CD, earn 6%. Can't do that today.
Well, yeah, and I mean, old research, Bill Bangin and the 4% rule and all of that, that was all based on 1920 to 1990.
Yeah.
What were the markets like from 1920 to 1990? They were phenomenal.
And what were interest rates,
interest
right? I mean, you're in a balanced portfolio. Oh, you could say, I'm going to segregate, you know, 30% of my wealth, and I'm going to put it in these CDs earning 5 to 7%, right?
And it worked. But since 2000, I mean, the late 90s into 2000, 2008, 2020, there have been significant pullbacks. You cannot go by theory when you're trying to plan a retirement income.
Yeah.
You've got to go with facts. You've got to go with evidence. You've got to use your wealth in the proper way.
Yeah. Appreciate you spending some time with us and popping in 2 hours in a row. Mike Hayflick, certified Social Security claiming strategist. If you need Mike and his team, Ron Reinstein, whether it's Buffalo, New York, Rochester, New York, down in South Florida. We have certified experts in all the places, and they can help you make the right decision when it comes to retirement planning, specifically Social Security planning. So important, folks. But I would tell you this, you're going to work with somebody who's certified. You should work with somebody certified when it comes to your certification or your Social Security. Certifications matter. Education matters. Again, 833-FIN-GUYS. Let's take a real quick break. The place where money meets politics. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle. We'll be back. Don't turn the dial. Financial Guys Radio Network.
You're listening to The Financial Guys. To reach Glenn and Mike now, call 803-0930, toll free at 800-616-WBEN, and cell calls are free at star 930.
Alrighty, welcome back. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle. Quick show today. Appreciate everybody tuning in, and wish we had more time. I always say this goes by too quick here on the Financial Guys Radio Network. We measure our lives in Saturdays. Life seems to be going by so fast, and the Saturday shows seem to be going by even quicker. So use our team as a resource, by the way. You can always go to our website, thefinancialguys.com, 633-1515 if you're here in Buffalo, 833-FIN-GUYS for our Rochester office, 833-FIN-GUYS out in Rochester, and down in South Florida. And for those of you, by the way, who plan on leaving us in New York and going down to South Florida, the number one reason we have an office down in South Florida is because so many of our clients have transitioned to where their wealth is welcome. Mm-hmm. And Florida happens to be one of those great states. But you know, we have a lot of advisors that actually work with two different planners. You know, they have both. Somebody that they can count on up in Western New York when they come back up for the summer, and somebody down in South Florida, and the planners work together. So we are the team that can help with that transition. So use our team as a resource. Again, 833-FIN-GUYS. Glenn, you know, House Democrats pushed to renew efforts for a second round of $1,200 stimulus checks. Now, they'll do everything but actually open the economy. Yep. Everything but open the economy, right? Mm-hmm. And never once have we quarantined healthy people. In the history of the U.S., have we ever said, you're not going to work, you're healthy. You're not able to open up your store. I understand you're healthy. You're not able to do that, right? It's for the betterment of everybody. Now, we've got 60% of the businesses that have closed are saying now they're permanently going to stay closed. Real shame. House Democrats are, all they can think about is, let's give more stimulus checks. Let's give more stimulus checks. Meanwhile, you know, we are watching a video right now of these people looting. We have to stop paying these people.
This was the first.
Who's getting a lot of these stimulus checks. Yep. Now, there's a lot of people who are getting these stimulus checks who have said, I don't really need it. I feel bad. I'm getting it, right?
Yeah.
But there's these dirtbags who continue to smash windows, ruin property that's not theirs, destroy the very texture of some of the greatest cities that built America, and we're sending them stimulus checks. It's a joke.
Yep. It's really a joke, and we need to stop paying these people, these protesters. And a lot of these protesters are actually legitimately on payroll. Yeah. They're on George Soros' payroll.
Yep.
They're on probably the Clinton Foundation's payroll, I would guess. But they're being paid by somebody. And when I'm seeing U-Hauls pull up and unload weapons to go downtown to cause problems.
Yeah, we need to round those people up, put them in jail, as Florida has done, and not let them get out of bail. Let them get out with bail. You're just stuck there.
What I'd love to see is I would love to see Donald Trump add, like, I don't know, 100,000 U.S. Marshals to that service, right? Yep. Send them to these cities, let them get infiltrated in these groups, and then let's get these folks arrested because this is getting out of control. And I'm telling you, it's going to get to a point, folks, where average and ordinary citizens say enough.
Yep.
And they're all going to decide to go out to a restaurant some night, and every one of them is going to be armed sitting there, and when these punks show up, it's going to be a bloodbath. And again, I'm not recommending it. I'm not suggesting it. I don't want that to happen, but I fear that that's the end that we're heading towards if we don't nip this violence in the bud now. You cannot allow people to continue to scream in people's faces. That's intimidation. You know, they're out in front of one of the senator's houses, you know, shining lights and screaming at them. Where are the police? Where's private security even? Yeah. I mean, if these people should be arrested. And by the way,
police are nervous to intervene in anything now.
Well,
really.
I got to tell you, I don't know what the citizens arrest rules are, but if I'm one of those senators, or I got even in my own personal residence, they show up in of my house.
Oh, no, right.
I'm going out there, and
that's
I'm executing.
That's my property. I'm going to defend it.
Well, I'm executing citizens, or I'm going to tell them, you're arrested. Get on the ground. Put your hands behind your head. You're arrested.
Yep.
And I'm going to call the police. I'm going to wait for them to show up, and hopefully they will. If they don't, however, you have to be willing and able to defend yourself and your property. And because, you know, if not, then they're just going to burn your house down. Some of these Democrats are so lunatic, by the way, and really liberalism is truly a mental disorder. I read somebody online. She goes, and somebody said, well, you know, how would you feel if your house was burned down? She goes, if it would help the cause, I'd be fine with it.
Yeah, right.
Well, you're an idiot then. Then go burn your own house
down.
Right. How about that?
Yeah, you're a moron.
How about you burn your own house down, call it good for the cause, and you go live in a tent somewhere.
That's right.
And leave people that don't want their house burned down alone.
That's right.
Don't want their car window smashed in alone. Don't want their business's window smashed in alone. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Oh, what an
it's ridiculous.
Thing
stop
to
paying
say.
These
but
people.
You know
make
what?
Them go back to work.
They're not in her yard. And by the way, if they did show up at that lady's house,
they get arrested.
No, she'd be the first one calling 911.
Of
she
course.
Would be the first one on the phone begging the police department to come over and help save her.
But
she'd
when
be the first one.
But when Laura Loomer showed up on Nancy Pelosi's lawn.
911 right away,
they
right?
They showed
right
up
right away.
And said, you can't be on this property,
that's
right?
That's right. Yeah, of course.
I mean, come on.
Let's end on a funny note. Joe Biden waving to a cornfield. Did you see that last week?
He
gets off the plane.
A plane.
He's like, hey, by the way, nobody's showing up to any of his rallies. I'm sure that's on purpose, right? It was another interview he did. He was literally getting the question from the reporter and then looking at the teleprompter for the answer.
Off camera. Reading the teleprompter answer during a live interview. Joe Biden has not faced one serious or difficult interview yet. And even the fluff interviews, he has absolutely bombed. You know, he got off the plane in Florida. You're absolutely right. He ended up turning and waving to an empty cornfield, looked like an idiot, right? But even worse, CBS. CBS actually posted a picture of a packed audience at a Trump rally in Arizona.
Yeah, they cut
and then literally put the headline underneath it and said, Biden in Florida campaigning. It was awfully odd. And I looked at that photo initially. I thought, gee, it's funny.
Make America Great hats everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm like, wait a minute. Isn't that a MAGA hat? What's up with that? Isn't that an I Love Trump hat? That doesn't make any sense. And then somebody else put a thing out there because that was at the rally and said, wait a minute. This was me. I wasn't in Florida. I happened to be at the Trump rally. I'm pretty sure in Arizona.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Joe actually had any rallies? I don't think he's had any rallies.
No, he hasn't had any major appearances whatsoever.
I love when he does the social distancing, like sits in the circle.
This is weekend.
With
Bernie's.
Five other mental midgets, and they're all 6 feet away wearing their masks.
This is Weekend at Bernie's.
Yes.
This is the
he needs
this
to be drug tested. He absolutely Trump. By the way, Trump should continue
right.
to push for that.
For sure,
I want a drug test. Him and Nancy Pelosi
before and after the debate. He needs to be drug tested right before the debate and right after. Pee in this cup, sir. Please, let's go run it to the whatever.
Yeah.
CNN broadcast.
The cup, Joe, not your hand. The cup.
Yeah, this is the best too. CNN broadcast networks and broadcast networks ignore Hunter Biden revelations as others downplay the Senate report. This report's a pretty big deal. Investment firm co-founded by Hunter Biden received $3.5 million in a wire transfer from the wife of a former Moscow mayor, this report says.
Yeah.
And nobody
Hunter's got no investment experience. None.
He's gotten paid by Russia.
Yeah.
He's gotten paid by Ukraine.
Yep.
He's gotten paid by China.
Yep.
And he's gotten zero investment experience, zero oil and gas experience.
Yep.
I mean, this is unbelievable.
Sets up his, quote, a financial firm right down the street from daddy.
Right.
I
mean,
so
this
he
is
can
crazy.
Be in the proximity of making sure that he gets paid back. It's unreal. It's a total joke. And the mainstream media, where is a reporter to look into this? Come on. Where's your soul? Just find a little bit of
it's gone. It's gone. 33 years ago, Joe Biden made a statement that was completely incorrect and false about his academic record.
He's back at it.
Again. That's my point. He said he finished in the top half when he finished in the bottom half.
He might
half.
Really think
he
now said, that he does, though.
Right.
That's
he
the
said,
scary thing. Is,
but the point, so
he,
the thing
he
is.
He knew 30 years ago right. he didn't finish in the top
right.
half. But
he,
now
he might
may
think.
Believe in his
he
own
might
life.
Believe it. Yeah, he might believe. But anyway, so 33 years ago, he also said he was the first in his family to go to college. That was also untrue. So the media actually fact-checked him for once and came out and they called him out on it. And the media dogged him for it for weeks, and they wouldn't let it go because you know what? Because he's a liar. That's why.
Yeah.
He plagiarized a speech. He lied about his college experience.
That's
he
a,
lied about his placement in his family.
Well, that's a
he
big lied, deal, too, right? I mean,
so
you're talking about your education, right?
Yep.
How,
yes,
you know, that's,
absolutely.
That's a, you didn't build a business, Joe. So one of the things people would say, yeah, I think I'm going to hire that person to be the president of the United States of America because based on his education. He doesn't have a track record of building a business. He's been in office for a long time.
Most importantly,
but
he's a liar.
Maybe he's really smart.
Most importantly, he's a liar.
Yeah.
But here's the point, is that now He did the exact same thing last week, folks. He was on Wolf Blitzer, Town Hall, CNN. Yeah.
Wolf couldn't be bothered. Couldn't be bothered.
No, but the rest of the media can't be bothered. How about the next day? The media comes out and goes, well, Wolf maybe not have caught it because he was in the moment. I understand that.
Sure.
But we sure did. Yeah. And Joe Biden's at it again. The same lie that forced him to drop out of the presidential race in 1987. He said the same thing and the media didn't bat an
meanwhile,
eye.
Meanwhile, every single thing that Donald Trump has said has come true. Right,
the media didn't bat an eye.
They are wiretapping my building.
Unreal. It was right. I'm telling you what, Joe's getting shots in the butt. I'm telling you, he's going to shoot up before whatever, and it's the only way he is semi-coherent for any matter of time. I saw him walk to a podium, 30 feet, he was out of breath. He's like,
yeah. He was waving to a cornfield, Glenn.
I'm here.
He was waving to an empty cornfield.
I'm good to be here.
He can't even answer very simple lob ball questions without reading off a teleprompter.
Right.
You just can't.
It's amazing.
Now, they're going to try to do whatever they can during the debate to send him the most appropriate lob ball questions to try to put him in a position where he doesn't look like a total recluse. But no. I'm not sure that's going to save him. Trump wins, by the way, in a landslide.
New registered voters
are 2-1 Republican, and the silent majority out there has had enough. The best candidate the Democrats had in forever is Hillary Clinton, right? She fit all the boxes.
She
was a female. She had money.
She was vicious.
Her rapist husband, or accused of rape husband, was loved by the left, right? I know he was on an airplane 26 times with Epstein going to that island, but that doesn't matter, right? They loved him, right? She checked all the boxes, and she got her butt kicked.
Mm-hmm.
Joe's not checking all the boxes, folks. He's not checking all the boxes. All right, we're out of here, man.
Definitely not the mental stability box.
If you need us throughout the week, folks, we do manage money for a living. Use us as a resource if you think like us. If you need help with your Medicare, I continue to say that 'tis the season. We have a number of AHIP-certified independent reps. Doesn't cost you a penny. You can pop into our office and get a complimentary consultation to make sure you're in the right spot. Or even if you want a quick phone call, right? I just wanted to check stuff out. Use our team as a resource. Don't forget about our home and auto division. We can shop over 25 companies to save you money. Give us 14 minutes. Let us shop over 25 companies if your home and auto is renewing, and we'll try to save you money. Especially if you've been with one of these old school companies for a long time, folks. They're not ever going to call you and say, hey, just so you know, we've increased your premiums over the last 15 years by 58% or whatever, right? Let us do the shopping for you. Independent team, and of course, registered investment advisors, certified financial analysts, and certified financial planners to help you. We are a one-stop financial shop. College planning. Call Jeff Boron if you need help with college planning. You got a junior or a senior in high school. Make sure you're taking advantage of that department. All right, we are out of here. Esther Goulias, the tax lady, up on deck if you're listening in Buffalo, New York. And we'll be back next week. God bless, and we'll see you. Financial Guys Radio Network. Take care.